This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Rocks Pile Podcast, part of Fansided Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Kevin Henry and Noah Yingling.
And welcome into the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. I am Noah Yingling, one of the co-experts of Rocks Pile. And as always, I am joined by my friend and fellow co-expert, Kevin Henry, who isn't traveling right this second. But, you know, he's always traveling because he just came from Texas and then he's going to be out of town here in a few days. So yeah. We have to catch him when he's available.
Well, and flew back from Texas this morning after a nice little two-game mini sweep of the Rangers there at Globe Life Field in Arlington.
And how many road wins do the Rockies have?
That would be 2 out of 2, my friend.
And how many games did it take them to get to 2 road wins last year?
I think it was 15. Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I believe so. So, you know, and so that was a conversation. There was a lot of that in Texas about this year versus last year. And Bud kind of just put like a squash on it. He's like, you know, we have so many different faces this year. He said, don't compare this year to last year. It's a different team, everything else. But absolutely, that's the thing to think about is how this team started on the road last year versus this year. And, you know, Noah, you were in the clubhouse last year. You kind of saw the
well, in the dugout slash on the field. Of course, no clubhouse.
That's true. That's a good way to put it. But you still saw the interactions.
Yeah.
And this year, it's, in my opinion, there's a different feel to it. There's a better feel to it. And I can't pinpoint it. I'm not going to say who, what, where. But it seems like a team that last year was so uptight whenever things wouldn't go right. This year, they're very loose, I think, is how CJ Crone tabbed it.
Now, I do have to ask you. I was at Globe Life Field last year.
Yep.
Enjoyed it.
Yep.
Could not access the clubhouse, though, because they just opened up the clubhouse access this year. How did you like the stadium?
I liked the stadium a lot. I did not get to walk around. Unfortunately, I was going to, and then a couple things came up that I needed to write. That darn Randall Grichuk catch kept me from walking around as I had planned. So some stories came out of that. But the visiting locker room, I will say, is better than most visiting locker rooms you will go into. It was actually a little more spacious. They had some really nice, you know, and this sounds silly, but you've been in enough visiting clubhouses as well to know that some places have ratty couches and they don't kind of make it welcoming for a good reason.
Yeah.
Texas was not that way. It was pretty nice, I will say.
Well, and I mean, that was one thing with Chris Bryant. He said at the All-Star game when he was there he was there on the home side, since he was an NL player, but obviously he hadn't been there as a Rockies player, so he'd never been in the home clubhouse. And he's like, wow, this is the nicest clubhouse I've ever seen.
I did want to get into the Rangers clubhouse. I never got the chance to just because they had some really funky opening hours over there. They were open much earlier than I anticipated. And it was interesting. But I think you've been – no, maybe you haven't in the visiting clubhouse at Coors Field. I will tell you, the one in Texas is so much nicer than the one at Coors. More spacious, everything else. But you're talking a ballpark that opened in 1995 versus a ballpark that opened in 2020. Makes a difference.
And as we've mentioned before, Coors Field is the third oldest stadium in the National League.
And if you go to Dodger Stadium and go in the visiting clubhouse, it's cramped. It's horrible. I mean, I'm just going to tell you. But again, Dodger Stadium, second oldest stadium. Wrigley Field's visiting clubhouse. It's a shoebox. But guess what?
And that, now, I do have to say they have updated it some there at Wrigley.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it really couldn't have been worse than it was before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, any upgrade helps. But still, it's not – yeah, Wrigley, you know, stadiums show their age in more ways than what the fans see.
Yeah,
and I think Globe Life Field is a really nice ballpark. I will tell you, you know, and you and I talked a little bit about this in some tweets and texts and things like that. The Rangers are not the team that looks like they spent a lot of money in the offseason.
Oh, they're an atrocious team.
Yeah.
And they are atrocious. And the problem is, and we've talked about this how many times on Call to the Pen. Okay, you spent money on Seager. You spent money on Semien.
Yep.
That'll help because your offense was garbage last year. But your ace is John Gray. One, that's a problem.
Yep.
Two, John Gray, as much as Rockies fans loved him and as much as he pitched well at Coors Field. In fact, I said this either during the season or during the offseason, right before he signed. My problem with him signing with the Rockies, if he signed with the Rockies, he is before this year, he had played 7 years in the major leagues. How many times has he made 30 plus starts in a year?
Right.
Once.
Yep.
And that year still, he made a few starts down in Albuquerque because the Rockies thought he was so bad. That was in 2018. So that tells you right there, health issues. And guess what? He's already on the injured list.
Yep. Yeah, and you know the thing is that there was one part last night where I was sitting in the press box at Globe Life, and which again is, you know, at I think it's about as high as a 14er here in Colorado, but
it's not as high as Pittsburgh or Washington, though.
It's not, you know, and that's one thing we were discussing last night. Washington's still the highest of the whole bunch, no doubt. But I looked over the scoreboard, and I believe through seven innings, the Rangers had two hits.
Yeah.
And that was against Chad Kuhl. Now, nothing against Chad Kuhl, but that's also Colorado's fifth starter.
Yeah, it's not like you're throwing Bob Gibson out there.
Right.
I mean,
Chad Kuhl. And again, had Grichuk not made that catch, it's a completely different ballgame. Completely different. But, you know, that just seemed to be such a momentum swing on both sides. But there was never a point – granted, Willie Calhoun had the late home run against Daniel Bard the other night, but he was 1-for-10 after that. That was his first hit of the season.
Yeah.
You know, so there was never a point that you're like, oh boy, this Rangers offense is getting ready to explode here. They just don't have that in their lineup. I don't see that they're going to be a very improved team now that I've actually seen them play twice.
Well, and the thing is, okay, you got Semien and Seager at the top. Mitch Garver, I mean, he's a good hitting catcher. But, I mean, on a good team, he's not your third hitter.
No.
Adolis Garcia, okay, he had a good year last year as a rookie.
Yep.
But is he going to be the same? And then after that, I mean, Nathaniel Lowe, okay, maybe with Tampa and Texas now, he's hit fairly well. But after that, you're like, huh? Who?
Well,
what?
And if you look back, one of the things that Texas promoted so much was we signed Cole Calhoun.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oof.
He's Cole Calhoun.
Yeah. So
pipe down.
All right. So there's the Texas side of things. But let's do give props to the Rockies, because I thought in Texas and really the first turn through the rotation, it's been a pretty solid thing. And the bullpen has been really, really good.
And I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I remember seeing it on Twitter. The Rockies have the best bullpen ERA in the sport right now.
Yeah.
Or at least through Tuesday, it was. I've obviously, games being played today, the Rockies have an off day. That could change. But obviously, it's only five games, but hey, it's a start.
Yeah, and I know people are so quick to say, oh, it's a small sample size. And you know what? It absolutely is. There is no question about that. But it's also something that you go, okay, here's where we are right now. Is it better than it was last year? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we all remember 2020, this team started out on fire and collapsed. So nobody's printing the ticker tape, you know, to throw out on 20th and Blake for the World Series parade yet. But I do know that there's a lot of things that are better about this team, at least at first glance right now, than were this time last year.
Yeah. And case in point, look at the offense. I mean, the Rockies offense, when was the last time we could say, hey, this team has an offense that might, keyword is might, it's only been five games, might be enough to be a competitive team?
Yeah. I think it's worth at least considering the fact that it could happen.
And it's being recognized nationally too. In fact, I multiple shows on MLB Network yesterday, they were talking about the Rockies and they were talking about the Grichuk catch, but they were talking about the first game as well with the call that ended the game, the Chase Utley.
Yep.
But they said with the Rockies, they showed the lineup and they were like, wow, that's a sneaky good lineup. And I mean, at least so far, they're fourth in batting average. They are eighth in on-base percentage. They are seventh in slugging. So OPS is 766, which is not great. But to start the year, that's fourth. OPS plus, which is, I think, more important. And you are at 123. Now, is that going to last the whole year? No,
of course not.
But if you can be around the league average in that, because I, and we've discussed this before too, I think that the adjusted park metrics are a little bit harsher on the Rockies than is actually reality. But if you can be at 100, the Rockies have only been above at or above 100, I believe, in three seasons in their team history. In all three seasons, they made the postseason.
Yeah, and you know, and you look at this lineup. Let's not forget, Charlie Blackman has not started off well. Brandon Rogers.
Charlie Blackman in general, and we had Aaron Hurt on the site write about it. Atrocious defensively, atrocious at the plate too. I mean, granted, as we've said, only five games, but he has looked terrible at the plate. He's looked terrible in general.
He has, you know, but on the flip side, you know, at this point early, so is Brendan Rodgers at the plate too. And that's not a good sign for this team. Now, again, small sample size, you know, let's see what happens during this homestand with the Cubs and the Phillies coming in. But I think that if you look at, if we're still talking about that a week or two from now, I think that that's a concern, especially with Rodgers.
And I would arguably say with Blackman too, because you have so many outfielders.
Yeah.
That now, I should say with Blackman as well. If they give him a day off or two here in the next week, and you see Sam Hilliard play more, or Jonathan Daza play more, and they start hitting well, that could be trouble for Charlie Blackman.
It could. It could. And I don't think Bud is ever going to bench Charlie for extended periods of time. But I certainly think that Bud is also going to do what's best for the team.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. If Grichuk and Bryant are doing what they're doing and you get a Hilliard or a Daza or, you know, let's go crazy and even say a Garrett Hampson, you know, and can work him into center field, you move Grichuk over to right. It's possible for sure.
By the way, now this is the thing with, We've talked about this before too. The eye test and the defensive numbers, sometimes they don't line up. Case in point was last year, Raimel Tapia. He had like seven defensive runs saved, and if you watched his game, you didn't think he had seven defensive runs saved. But can you guess who is tied for the lead in defensive runs saved on the Rockies this year?
Just on the Rockies?
Yep.
Tied.
Tied at one. There's four players with one.
All right, I'll go Hampson just because we were talking about it.
No.
Okay.
Ryan McMahon, which I would expect.
Yep.
Sam Hilliard, which I kind of wouldn't expect considering he's played a third of the playing time as the others. Randall Grichuk is there which who knows, it might be on that play that he saved a home run. But Charlie Blackman is there. For me, and it wasn't just the one play on opening day. There's been a few other times where I've been like, Okay, didn't have the best read on that. But he has one defensive run saved.
It's a weird
metric. That's baseball.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's a weird metric.
That's baseball.
It is. It is. All right. And when we get back from the break, let's talk more baseball. Let's talk about what's coming up this week. Cubs, Phillies. Rockies are on a high. Are they going to keep it up at altitude? We'll talk about that after the break here on the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. And we are back on the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. Kevin Henry alongside Noah Yingling. We are the co-experts at Rocks Pile. Noah, it was a very short road trip. Two games, obviously, coming off a three-game series that the Rockies won, by the way, against the Dodgers. Now the Cubs come into town. Now the Phillies come into town. I'm looking at this as a real interesting homestand because when the season began, we talked about if the Rockies are going to make that last playoff spot, these could be a couple of teams that they're battling for that position.
With the Cubs, I will be really interested to see how their offense is.
Yeah.
Because they have their outfield is hitting really well. Ian Happ is hitting 700 right now. And that was entering Wednesday. Jason Hayward is hitting 375. And Seiya Suzuki is hitting 417 with a 1696 OPS. He already has three homers.
He's the real deal.
But outside, and even their bench outfielders / DH players, which they're very much like the Rockies in that they have a lot of outfielders. So they are, they're essentially mixing and matching them between the outfield and the DH. But their infield, nobody is hitting right now.
No.
They second base and third base, Nick Madrigal and Patrick Wisdom are hitting 067 and 077. Frank Schwindel, their first baseman and shortstop, Nico Horner, are hitting 214. None of them have an OPS above 650.
Yeah. And again, early, but that's not a good sign, especially for Wisdom, let's be honest, because he is a guy that, you know, even was in the rookie of the year conversation last year a little bit. Sophomore slump, I would say.
Now, with their starting rotation, they have some injuries there, like the Rockies have some pitching injuries as well, but none of their starters have gone fewer than five innings, and none of their starters have given up more than one run. So that will be interesting to see.
And how excited are we about the return of Marcus Stroman to Coors Field? Sir, that is a poo-poo take. We are ready for the Marcus Stroman experience to come back to Coors this week.
Now, I do have to say with Stroman, too, especially looking this during the lockout at the pitchers that should pitch well at Coors Field with the low fastball spin rate, high ground ball rate, Marcus Stroman falls into that category. Mm-hmm. Just imagine if he was with the Rockies. Completely different personality than anybody on the team.
Oh, by far. Absolutely. No question about
because,
it.
Because, I mean, how many Rockies players are on social media? Not many.
No.
How many are active on social media? Even fewer. And then you got Marcus Stroman.
Stroman would be a whole different animal. There's no question about it.
By the way, as we're recording this, Clayton Kershaw's combined perfect game has been broken up against the Twins. And yeah. I told you as soon as right before we came on that it would be broken up in the eighth inning.
Yep.
Sure enough. Lot.
Yep. Lots of folks tweeting about it seems, including some national MLB writers. So there
who
you go.
Seem to jinx everything.
Exactly. Yeah, isn't it great that we can do this podcast and actually have baseball on in the background and talk about, you know, what else is going on?
I think I told you this. This was the Wednesday because the lockout ended on Thursday. It was Wednesday night. I was talking with a few of my friends and I was like, I'm out of ideas. I don't know what to write about anymore. And then the lockout ended the next day. Like,
tell you.
Thank God.
Thank God it's right.
Thank God.
Yeah, I'm watching some of the highlights of the Red Sox-Tigers game right now in Detroit. Looks like a miserably cold day in Detroit.
Oh, and that's the thing. With the Rockies are going to be there next weekend, and it will be one of two things. It will either be snowing or it will be 80 degrees.
Yeah.
There is no middle ground for us in the Midwest.
Well, can I just say that, and I hope that we're not going to have to put an explicit warning on the podcast when I say this, but Trevor Story, former Rockies shortstop, just hit a bloop single in to give the Red Sox their seventh run of the day. So Story is still producing tacos, even though they're, you know, probably pronounced a little differently where he is now versus
and Paul. Without an apostrophe.
Exactly. So, you know, let's talk a little bit, because I view this homestand as a measuring stick, and I know it's early.
Yeah.
But still, I think if the Rockies are going to do well, they've got to do well at home. We know the Red struggles are going to happen. We know that. But they're coming off a day off. It's the second turn through the rotation. The bullpen's doing well, as we discussed before. Bryant is hitting. Of course, you're going to see all the whole Bryant and the Cubs reunion photos and stories. So get ready for that this week. There is a ton of Chicago media coming to Coors Field. So get ready for a lot of attention. You know, and I do think that there are going to be some folks around the country that pay attention to this, not just because Suzuki and the Bryant connection and everything else, but I think they're going to be looking at, are the Rockies the real deal here?
And I think part of that will come with, obviously, with the Cubs, but the Phillies as well, which I find it very interesting, all the scheduling that they do and all that. And by April 28th, the Rockies will not see the Phillies again, unless they see them in the postseason. But yeah, yep. Done after April 28th. Off you go.
Meanwhile, the Cubs, they will see them again in Chicago in September.
Yes.
So, which I think is about as long a stretch as they've got between opponents this year, which is crazy.
Yeah. And then, so that homestand, and we've said this before too, and it's the old baseball adage. You can't win pennants in April, but you sure can lose them.
Amen.
And that's the point where the Rockies are right now, where, okay, can in the 7-game homestand, can you go 5-2?
Yeah.
Even 4-3.
You know, and you and I talked about on a previous podcast how the opening schedule set up pretty well for the Rockies.
Yeah.
Now, so far they've taken advantage of it. It's 5 games in. But can they keep that going with this homestand and then the Detroit Philly swing that pretty much puts you at the end of April?
Yeah. And the next homestand after that, it's Cincinnati and Washington.
Yeah.
Sound like the 27 Yankees are coming into town. So yeah, that's, and then you got Arizona after that.
Yeah. And for those who thought Arizona was going to be an improved team this year, yeah. Oof. So far, I mean, they've not shown that.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, they could be improved and still be a 109 loss team, yeah. Which is a really, really bad team.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's unwatchable territory. I mean, they're starting to hit now. I mean, considering the first two games and the first 6 innings of the first two games, they literally hit nothing. Zero, yeah. 0.000, no hits. I mean, you really couldn't be worse, but I mean, so they are starting to get a little bit better. But I mean, they have 3 guys total on their team with an OPS above 100, and they have 4 guys above 34. That's not a recipe to win games.
That's not going to do well. I'm just going to be honest.
The pitching staff has actually not been atrocious. They've got a 3.60 ERA, which is right in the middle of the National League. That's 7th in the NL. But if you can't hit it, how many times did the Rockies do this last year?
I was just going to say, it sounds familiar, actually, to Rockies fans. Yeah.
If you shut out 16 times, you're going to go 0-16 in those games. I hate to break it to you.
Yep, that's going to make it tough.
Great pitching does beat great hitting, but you still do have to hit.
So I've got to ask you, you mentioned 5-2 a minute ago on the homestand. if the Rockies win this homestand, is it considered a success? I mean, on the surface, I'd say yes, but are we already setting the bar higher for these Rockies knowing how they've started the season?
Personally, I would say 4-3 would be borderline. Okay. 5-2 would be a successful homestand because how did they play last year at home? I mean, they went 48-33 at home. That's a .593 winning percentage.
With all sorts of walk-offs in there. Let's not forget that.
And then, yeah, and that's true. But .593 winning percentage, that's equivalent to a 96 win team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they still only won 74 games last year. Now, they will be better on the road because I say that because you really can't be worse than they were on the road.
I agree.
But essentially, they were the Diamondbacks on the road. They had a .325 winning percentage. So that's roughly 109, 110 loss team. So that's the thing where, okay, we know we're going to be better on the road or should be better on the road. But at home, you still have to be playing at that 550, 600 clip.
Yeah,
I agree. Because the Rockies are going to have an issue on the road, whether it's in June or whether it's now or whether it's in September. There's going to be some time where they're going to slip up on the road.
I agree. And I think you've got to not only, you know, work ahead with this April schedule and early May, as we've talked about, but also, like you said, protect home. Make sure that you're winning at home for when those road moments happen. We know, you know, the trip to Miami is always a nightmare. The trip to St. Louis is always a nightmare. Yep. You know, we will have
the trips to Dodger Stadium will be atrocious.
Yep.
The trips to AT&T, Oracle, SBC, Pac Bell, whatever you want to call it.
So you've got to win now and win at home. And again, you've got a rotation that gives you that chance, a bullpen that, dare I say, on the surface, at least at the moment, gives the impression that they could make that happen.
Yes.
So who knows?
And if they do get to the playoffs, that's baseball.
That's baseball. I will say those of you, you know, who took the over on the preseason bet with the Rockies wins, you're probably feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Now, long ways to go. Long ways to go. But on the surface, this team looks better when you're around them, feels different, you know, and I think that you can't discount either one of those things, even eye test wise.
Well, and I mean, even with the people that took the over in 2019, through June 2nd, that team was actually a good team. And even I would say until I remember specifically, I think it was June 20th against the Diamondbacks. And then they swept the Diamondback series in 2019. Then they went to Dodger Stadium. And in fact, yeah, as I'm looking it up, yeah, through the first 74 games in 2019, they were 40-34.
Yep.
Coming off of two straight playoff years. They had to feel confident at that time that, okay, they're at least going to be in the playoff hunt. And then it all fell apart after that.
It did. And 2020, again, started out so hot. Those first 15 games. Oh, my God. And then, yeah. The first
2019, they went 31-57 in their final 88 games. And that's including sweeping the Milwaukee Brewers to end the season.
Oh, that was the Sam Hilliard, Josh Hader moment at Coors.
Yes.
Yeah, we have some fun with our friends from Reviewing the Brew whenever we talk about that series still.
And just look at the pitchers who pitched in that series. Let's hop back in the time machine.
All right.
Senzatella. Okay. Right. James Pazos. Joe Harvey. Jairo Diaz. Tichy Gonzalez. Yency Almonte, Phil Deal, DJ Johnson, Jeff Hoffman, Sam Howard, Jesus Tinoco, Wes Parsons, Brian Shaw.
Wow.
One of those pitchers is still on the team.
For the entire series?
That was the entire series, yeah.
I think you just found an article right there. That's incredible. Seriously. That's incredible. I mean, wow. And again, I think you would take this year's pitching over that.
Oh, God, yes.
So, you know, for those who go, well, they're not any better than they were, there's a perfect example of, oh, tell me they're not better.
Yeah.
Tell me this isn't better than
that. I mean, in general, if you look at the last month of starting pitchers they had, reminder, John Gray was out with injury.
Yep.
You didn't have Gomber at the time because Arenado was still on the team. Look at the starters. Hoffman, Lambert, Chi-Chi, Senzatella, Melville, and you've Tim got...
Melville experience.
Kyle Freeland made one start, and that's it. Oh, no, sorry, two starts. So, yeah, it was Senzatella, Melville, Hoffman, Lambert, Chi-Chi. That's an awful rotation.
I gotta think back where Marquez was during that time. I gotta think back to that. I guess he was
injured at the time.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember what it was. I know he was fighting dehydration and all that stuff that season. So maybe that was part of it. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, he did not pitch after August 22nd.
Man. Well, better days ahead, right?
Yeah.
Better days ahead.
Before we leave, though, I do want to ask you.
Yeah.
As I told you before we started the podcast what my opinions were, and I will offer them for the public here in a moment. Dodgers. It's drama, so it's usually the Dodgers. But
yeah.
Padres, Giants.
Yeah.
What is your opinion on that whole situation of breaking the unwritten rules of baseball?
You know, the whole bunt, I know, is what you're talking about. And I think, in my opinion, it's when the bunt happened. Granted, they were up by a considerable margin. Correct me if I'm wrong, 9 runs, I believe, in the 6th inning?
It was at least 9 runs, yeah. If not more.
So I have seen, you have seen, we've all seen leads that evaporate. If that had happened in the 8th inning or later, okay. Maybe you don't do it then. But if it's in the 6th inning and you're telling people to pump the brakes, I just don't see that. I think that there's still a lot of baseball left to play, especially this early in the season when you don't really know how your relievers are going to do. And, you know, you may have to use multiple pitchers in there. So I don't see that it broke unwritten rules. What about you?
Well, first off, the score was 11-2 at the time.
Okay.
So it was 9-run.
9-run lead. Yep.
I think... we talk about in baseball vernacular, there's always a lot of different words for different things that people might not understand. I think this is a classic case of eyewash. It is the biggest scam, the unwritten rules of baseball. They're unwritten for a reason, because they're garbage. And two, if you don't want to be shown up, play better.
Right.
If you don't want somebody stealing a base or bunting against you or getting a hit against you when you're losing 13-2, as they ended up losing the game, play better. Don't be losing 10-1 after 2 innings. Pitch better. It's not that hard.
I agree with you.
Playing baseball is not easy. Giving up 10 runs to the Giants at Oracle Park, that's actually harder to do than actually not giving up 10 runs. That's pretty damn difficult to do. You have to be pretty bad to do that.
Yeah.
So guess what? If you have a problem with it, play better. Shut the hell up and play better. Yeah.
That's just it. I think of all the things that we have to worry about in this game, it's not that.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, it didn't impact the score of the game. And again, it's early enough in the game that I still think you're doing strategy. You're still doing all these things. Are you telling me that the Padres stopped trying to figure out how to bring in certain pitchers to stop the bleeding? They stopped their strategy on their side? No.
And I would take it even a step further. I don't care if you do it in the ninth inning. Because guess what? If you go through five pitchers in the ninth inning, that impacts tomorrow's game. Again.
It's true.
If you don't want to have that be a problem, play better. Shut the hell up and play better. It's as simple as that. It's not hard.
And ironically, as we record this, here's the Giants Padres that just popped up on my screen for the day game today. You know?
Now, I do have to say, on the other hand, if with that stuff happening, and like if it's a 20-0 game and you're bunting in the first in the ninth inning and you're stealing second base, don't be surprised if your guy gets hit in the rib cage.
Absolutely, I agree with that completely.
And that's and the thing. Okay, you're willing to do that, but accept the consequences.
But there's also that's a whole different thing in the ninth versus the sixth. At least I think so.
Which, yeah, and I in a way, I understand that. But also, too, like I said,
yeah,
if you go through five pitchers in the ninth inning, that impacts tomorrow's game. That impacts the day after that. Really, yeah. For the Padres, if that had happened, that impacts them for the next week. Because it's not like they have a great rotation right now as it is. Part of it is because they're injured. Blake Snell's on the injured list. Mike Clevinger, both of them are always on the injured list. But in general, I mean, okay, Yu Darvish pitched well in his first game, but as we mentioned earlier, he was facing the Diamondbacks. They're not a good team. So, okay, you have these other guys and in the bullpen where you could be going through them and then they have to make moves to go down to AAA.
Sure. Absolutely. Nope. I get that completely. And I think that it's one of those things that we've got to say at some point, okay, really, is there, how much of the integrity of the game did we lose? I was telling you when I was in Texas, I overheard some of their TV broadcasters talking about the Chase Utley slide that ended the game, you know, and how they said, oh, this is a black eye on the sport that it ended like that. And I'm like, you know, if we're really worried about that was the black eye on the sport, then I think we're really getting a little too granular with what's hurting the sport and what isn't here.
And I can tell you right now, that's not hurting the sport as much as their marketing department.
Well, and
that's here's a story for another day.
That's another day. All right. And let me just wrap a little bow on it here because you mentioned 2019. We talk about the Padres. The thing that I will go to my deathbed about is that the Father's Day series at Coors Field, Rockies Padres, when they used all the pitchers, all the runs scored that year, everything else, that made a difference in that team's complete collapse moving forward.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Okay, it wasn't 12-0, but if it was 12-0, it impacts that week. It can impact a pitcher's psyche for the rest of their career. We saw it with 2017 Astros. Now, granted, they were cheating, but Mike Bolsinger, he ended up suing the Astros because his final game he ever pitched in his career at the major league level, he faced the Astros, and he just got absolutely bombed to hell. I mean, that impacted the rest of his livelihood.
Sure. Sure. Makes sense.
And that's the thing, especially if you aren't cheating. Pitch better.
Pitch better.
It's really not that hard to not give up 10 runs in two innings. And the first two innings of a game in San Francisco against the Giants. Well, it's really not hard.
The Rockies have pitched better so far. We'll see how it does. We will be at Coors Field all homestand. We will be reporting live from there. Make sure you check us out. Rockspile.com. As well as Noah and I will be lending our thoughts on all things baseball over calltothepen.com. So make sure you check that out.
And we will also be on the next two at the next two road series as well as
we will.
Three of the next four.
We will. We, as it turns out, we enjoy traveling with the team. And this year it's really cool. And I'm just going to say this. Kudos to the Rockies PR department because since the 2020 season, they have put together so many Zooms home and away with players This year, they're not doing road Zooms. If you're not on the road, you don't talk to Bud Black. You don't talk to the players. So that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to travel, is that we can bring you what goes on behind the scenes and in the clubhouse, whether it's Texas, Detroit, Philadelphia, wherever.
And really, the only person outside of Colorado that the Zooms benefited was me.
I just said, well, you know, and again, kudos to them for doing that. But I can tell you the players and the PR department are very glad the days of Zoom are at least behind us.
And I am too.
Amen. Amen, brother. All right. Well, I think we have covered it. Looking forward to seeing what the week holds ahead, Noah.
And as you like to say, as we will always end the podcast, go Rockies.